This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming out again with another message from God's Word, riding out on Old Dan. And we're happy to have you folks with us. And also, I'd like to say here at the beginning how pleased I am and how thankful I am for you folks who help us with the broadcast. Folks all over this nation are helping us with this little old broadcast. And they said, go on, Trailblazer. We don't hear God's Word much anymore. Go on. You're bringing God's message. And I put together a whole package of emails that folks would get me, and I let the folks read them, how the folks are saying, come on, Trailblazer, keep up the good work. Preach Christ. Don't give up. Don't look back. Don't worry about the criticism. One lady wrote me, called me on the phone from St. Louis the other day, and she said, Trailblazer, you just go on. You ain't no kook. And I thought that was great. I thought that was a great statement. She said, you ain't no kook. Go ahead and preach the gospel. So folks like that are helping us with the broadcast. So we're getting back into the study. We're looking at Jacob. Old Jacob, old supplanter Jacob, old rascal. He was a rascal, my friend. He was. You read his life story, you'll see that he was a rascal. But we were looking in our last study how that many of our churches, I would say the vast majority of them, are now on what we call the mud flats. That's an old expression of just out there where there's nothing important. Our pulpits are not being filled with men of faith who have walked that rugged pathway of life and a life of faith. If you didn't, you wouldn't have all, if we had men of character now, we wouldn't have all this rot that's preached out today. You wouldn't have the ministers trotting up down the country in these infernal, ungodly marches and picketing and all of those things, strutting their stuff. No, calling themselves preachers, a reverend, that makes me so sick I could vomit. Why don't they take their shingle down and put up out there a sign that says, a minister of the Jackass Club. That's what somebody told me to say. That's all they are, many of them, and have never been redeemed. My friend, when you come to know the Lord, when you've saved, you're a different person. You can't join in with the crowd that's marching on Washington or marching on somewhere. You can't do that. No. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them. That's what he means. You can't go back to where you were one time, go to the club on Saturday night, stay half the night, go to the ball game on Sunday. You can't do that, friend, and please God. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, listen, I don't know how many nationalities we have here in this ministry, but this church has been integrated long before integration, so you can't jump up and say that. But listen, I want to tell you, where there's been broken down the voice of authority in the home and in the pulpit, in our cities and states, there's no respect for authority. Now, we have that on every day. Every day I read the papers and see the news a little bit. Listen, you take many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, if an individual had burned up his draft card, they'd have him shot before daylight. Now, I'm telling you what I know, my friend. I saw World War II. I saw it. And I saw the patriotism. I saw the folks working to get out ammunition and all of those things. There was a patriotism that this world of ours now knows nothing about. And I'm telling you, we've lost it. We've lost it. Years ago, if someone had spit on the American flag, tore it up, or burned it, they'd been court-martialed. They'd been court-martialed and shot. But they don't do it today. Why? Because we've lost all of our authority and all of our respect for authority. And we have a nimby-pamby government now that's afraid to offend somebody. Well, we don't want to offend somebody. Well, hell, offend them. That's right. They're going to hell. Let's offend them. Maybe they'll straighten up. Maybe they'll see the light. That old patriarch spoke with a voice of authority. And Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt, recognized it. There we see that prime minister of Egypt, second in authority of that great land, kneeling down at the bedside of the old patriarch with his two boys and asking the old patriarch to bless them in the name of Jehovah and that they may become members of the household of God. I mentioned in our last study, we dedicate children here. Oh, we do. We dedicate children here. And we want folks to get straight with the Lord. Pastor Shelton told me of an incident back there many years ago when he was preaching. He said he had a man and a woman came with him, wanted to get married. They'd been living together for many years, had a house full of children. That's right. And he married them. house full of children. That's right. I've done almost the same thing. Folks living together, and they come say, "Pastor, we want to get married. We want to begin to live for the Lord. Would you marry us?" I said, "Yes, sir." And yes, ma'am, won't charge you nothing either. No, sir. But listen, would you think about this minute? The President of the United States today, or members of the Cabinet, would you think about the great leaders of our country would come to an old patriarch today and bring their children to be blessed? No, they'd dress them up and send them to Hollywood. Send them there to the dance hall or cabaret somewhere making pictures. And I'm afraid that some of our folks care more about the popularity of their children in the world than they do about them becoming members of the household of faith. I wish you'd just let that soak in. You may take issue with everything the old Trailblazer said, but I tell you, we're gone. Our homes are gone. Our churches are gone. Our religious life, our ministries are gone. Now, that's what we face today. And no man or woman is going to pick at this pulpit. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to stand with all authority. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. That's right. That's right. You're going to bow to the Word of God and to the Lordship of Christ and recognize Christ yonder on the throne with His Father and bow to Him. Bring up your children in the way they should go. God help us this morning. No, we're not teaching this morning. We're preaching. We're preaching. And Jacob, by faith, when he was a-dying, blessed the sons of Joseph. That's one of the greatest scriptures that I can tell you about, my friend. Joseph brought his two sons there to be blessed. He wanted them to be identified with God's people. He didn't rest until they received the blessing from the old patriarch. Do you want your children and grandchildren to be identified with God's people, my friend? Or are you interested in seeing that they make a place in this world? I'm talking to you folks out there who listen to the old Trailblazer. Are you interested in your children coming up knowing the Lord? The Bible says bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Listen, Jacob, in blessing those two sons, said, "They're mine." Notice how the grace of God overruled and placed these two young sons, at the head of two tribes of the children of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's what it meant. They're mine. Now, notice another great truth while we have time. When Jacob blessed them, he crossed his hands and put his right hand upon Ephraim, the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh, the elder, which displeased Joseph, their father. And he said to his father, "Manasseh is the elder, the firstborn." The father refused and said, "I know it, my son. I know it. I know it." Here we see grace overruling the flesh. How many times have we had to take a definite stand against the loved ones? How many times have we had to take a definite stand against our loved ones because we know the direct will of God? My friend, it's no easy to take a stand against your loved one. It's not. It's not easy to witness to them. It seems like it's the most difficult thing that you can do, to witness to your family or your close relative. But listen, when Jacob's faith was tested, he could not sit contrary to the will of God or be influenced by the will of man. God's minister cannot do that either. You can't. No, you can't do it. My friend, my pastor friend, don't waver. Stand. And let this notice that last expression. And Jacob worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Oh, but listen, I often tell our young preachers, and I know many of them, they go off to school somewhere and they get filled with all this easy believing, clap, clap chatter and all of that stuff. And they come back home seemingly on fire, but they're on fire for the religious world and not Christ. They're on fire. They want to preach. They think they ought to get out and preach. And that's right, if the Lord called them. But my friend, preach the truth. What is the truth? Christ died for sinners. Man is a sinner. Oh, don't call me a sinner, Trailblazer. Well, I don't call you a sinner. The Lord does, though. The Bible says the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Now, let me ask you, where does that put you? Do you know the Lord? You said, "No, Pastor. I don't know the Lord. I have no confidence that I know the Lord." Then the Lord is angry with you. He's angry with you. But you know what? He says, "Come now. Come now, and let's reason together." I've often expressed that like this, that the Lord invites you to sit down by Him, maybe on a back porch, an old high back rocker, just mysteriously, mythically, sit down back there. Go out on the levee. Go out there by the pond and reason with the Lord like this. Awakened sinner, you can do this. Lord, I see that I'm lost. Lord, I know I have nothing. I have a false profession that just nothing, don't amount to a thing. Sound like an acorn in a syrup bucket. And I know I've been duped by Satan. And I know it takes grace to come out and tell folks that I'm lost. But Lord, I want to be saved. And you tell me, you say in your word, the old trailblazer told me, come now, let's reason together. You know what? You don't have anything to reason with except you a sinner. But the Lord has everything. He says, I died for you. He said, I paid your sin debt. My blood was spilt there on Calvary's tree that it might cleanse you from all sin. You say, well, how? Listen, would you do that? The Lord says, Ho, come now. He that hath no money, come buy wine and milk without money. You ever heard that verse over there in the 55th chapter of Isaiah? He says, come now, buy milk and buy honey without money. And my friend, listen, the Lord is willing. He said he's not willing that you should perish. Oh, I have people tell me, the Lord said he's not willing that none should perish, none of his elect, none of his chosen one. You say, well, how do I know that I'm chosen? You want to know the Lord? You have a gentle fondness for the gospel that you want it to go out. You help sponsor many of these radio stations because you want the gospel to go out. Then I would tell you the Lord is drawing you. He said no man can come unless he draws him. He's drawing you, my friend, with the cords of love. And I wish you would give up. Give up. Just like I told you oftentimes when the Confederate War was going on, the old soldiers there in the South was getting overrun, getting beat. And the sergeant told them to put a white rag on a bayonet and hold it up so that the enemy could see it, so the Northern troops could see it. Oh, but listen, my friend, it's just like in preaching. Pastor Shelton told this story about Napoleon Bonaparte. Said he was in a great battle over there one day, and his troops were all getting shot down and cut down, and he told his little bugle boy, he said, blow a retreat, son! Blow a retreat! And the little boy stood there, kind of trembling, little young fellow. Bonaparte looked around there at him, and he said, son, I told you to blow a retreat. He said, Mr. General, you never told me how to blow a retreat. You never taught me how to blow a retreat. He said, well, then, for God's sake, blow a charge. And he said that boy put that bugle to his mouth and blew that charge in such a way it looked like dead men got up. Crippled men got up and won that battle over the enemy. Now, my friend, that's what you and I, Pastor, have to do. Blow a charge. I wish we could blow a charge. I wish we could blow a charge to many of our pastors who are, they just don't know the gospel. They don't know the Lord. They preach an error. Go back. Make your calling election sure, Pastor. The old trailblazer longs to hear from you. Would you write me and let me know that you're listening? Then let me make this statement. You can send money here by your credit card if you'd like to. Anything that we have here that you'd like to have, you can pay for it over your credit card. You can send your tithes and offerings here. But remember the old trailblazer's address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye. God bless you. Till next time.